welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. This is your host, Brother Malcolm, and welcome to the Black Is Online Culture Connection section. I am just silly today, but seriously, I'm excited to talk about what we're going to talk about today. Today, we're going to talk about Lee Daniels, the butler. And it's interesting because there's some other interesting ancillary sort of tie-ins that I want to bring into the conversation today. And I think it's so apropos that we're talking about this because that we're recording on the 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech on the March on Washington. And I am just thrilled to have seen the movie in that context, actually. But before I move any further, I must give the proper introduction to my guest, my co-host for the day. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for the Lehman family. Brother Chris Lehman for the happy hour. Brother Lehman, tell him what's up.
What's going on, everybody?
Happy hour. If you are not up on the happy hour, please, please, please check out the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. It is cracking for all of you sports heads. It is an enjoyable 45 minutes to an hour, and you get music. It goes down. And also, last but certainly not least, the head Negress in charge, the woman of this house, the mother of this child in this house, the wife of the husband of this house. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for the Black Is founder.
I'm so embarrassed. Hi, y'all.
Sister Casey Lehman. Welcome to the show. It's always a pleasure to have you guys. So thank you guys for coming on the show today.
Of course. Yeah.
So I just came out of The Butler. And I have to say, you know, I've heard different. Listen, you know, I hang with the ratchet to the intelligentsia. And I've heard different perspectives on the film. Mm-hmm. Overall, overwhelmingly positive reviews about the film from most people. Mm-hmm. And then from the intelligentsia, there were some concerns about the fact that the film, just so we're clear, let's put all this stuff on the table. The film is inspired by true events, not based on. So there's a difference that you should know the distinction. Based on is usually closer to the truth. Inspired means that there was probably artistic liberties taken. And so in this film, there were some artistic liberties taken. And we can actually put up the link to there's a Time article about the fact versus the fiction in The Butler. But what I want to just talk about is the film itself and its impact and our response to it and what we felt. And I just have to say, I went in knowing there was a lot of hype around it, but also hearing some people who were not as impressed with the film. And I have to say, I tried to go in with an open heart, an open mind. And I'm going to tell you, I was like enjoying the film. First of all, I want to say the film is really well made. Like just on the, let's just talk about on GP, how we are frustrated sometimes with Black cinema not being well made. This is well made. And of course it's going to be well made because who is backing it? The Weinsteins.
Yes.
It's not going to be ratchet. It's not going to be crap. It's the Weinsteins. So first of all, the Weinstein Company is on. When you have that as your studio, it's going down. And your distributor, you have no issues. That's not necessarily true, but I just knew that the quality would be there.
Right.
Second of all, many people in the theater will tell you that 90%, some say 50%, but 90% or 80%, some large percentage of any successful production is the casting. And I have to say, I felt like the casting for this movie was excellent, well done. And I was completely surprised by Oprah Winfrey's performance. I thought she held her own. And Forrest Whitaker is absolutely worthy of a Oscar nomination. It was a beautiful, layered, the internal strength, the silent giant he had to be. And for that to finally have its, spoiler alert, we're talking all about the movie, so if you ain't seen it, you shouldn't be listening to this. And for him to for him to have that release at the end, because I'm going to tell you, when I lost it, guys, I lost it when him and his son finally got back together. I was fine. I was like, oh, yeah. He ain't going to pull me in with all this dramatic music behind all these moments. Not going to get my tears flowing. No, you're not. When that man saw his daddy come up to the Nelson Mandela ride, I lost it. Like, tears could not stop. Because as a black man who's not had necessarily, who's had a fractured relationship with my father, and we are in good terms, and I thank God that we love each other and we're in good terms now. I understood that whole moment deeply, but I also loved it because the complexity of black male relationships was so beautifully, beautifully, in my personal opinion, addressed and I thought beautifully handled. I appreciated that there was not a lot of mess that was dealt with, because I was about, if they went deeply into some kind of affair with Terrence Howard and with his wife was Lorraine, right? That was no. Lorraine was Lewis's girl. What was Oprah's? God, that's sad when you forget the character's name.
Yeah,
you just came out. But Oprah's character,
right?
Mrs. Gaines. I was just so happy that that was like a short scene, but that stuff goes down. I mean, temptation is a real thing, and I'm sure in marriage, especially when you're married as long as they are, and especially as long as he is gone. And so those are all the beautiful things, and there's more beautiful things that we'll get into because it's going to come up. The two moments that probably stood out the most and just frustrating for me were the Black Panther moment. I felt as if the film portrayed the Black Panthers in a negative light in the end, partly because the Black Panthers and what it stood for in the context of the relationship of Lewis and his girl, it broke them up, basically. And if you look at the party, the Black Panther Party's platform, they were about helping their community. I know they injected that in there, like, we're going to have free breakfast. But it's, the energy of it was so negative, and the way that they came to his house, and you know, they were just extremes that I'm sure they were using. And I think those are the liberties that were taken in the film. You know,
it's funny. I would have to agree with you about that point. It's I didn't I guess dwell on it for too long, because so much else about the film was so great for me that I just kind of let it be a cursory moment. But when I thought about Lewis's girlfriend, is it Lewis? Because I forgot the name. When I thought about Lewis's girlfriend, I noticed how she just became harder the more she had to fight and the more she got in the struggle. And by the time she was down with the Panthers, she was completely hard, just soldier. You know,
that line is great, though, when he says, did you ever love me?
Yeah.
Because what I do know about Lewis Gaines is he knew what love was.
Yes.
His parents exemplified it, which was fantastic.
Beautiful.
Can we just say, strong Jay for showing just a beautiful black love and black family and lasting very long. And that, you know, like, it can happen. I still believe you can have that. You have to work through a lot of stuff, but it can happen.
Yeah. And the commitment, the understanding, the roles. And what you were saying about just black men, and I know Chris wanted, he and I talked about it. I know he wants to touch on this part. Like, the complexity of black male relationships from very beginning to end. I mean, we are very clear why Cecil would suffer from any post-traumatic slave disorder.
Help me, Jesus.
And why he is the man, why he chooses to walk the path that he walks.
And I don't know about you guys, but didn't you appreciate that they just kept it real blunt at the beginning? Like, yeah, let me show you how it goes down.
Yeah.
Like, bam. No, he said, I think he said, huh?
He said, hey.
Hey, he said, hey.
Yeah.
And this white boy pulled out his gun and shot Cecil's father dead in front of his wife, the mother of his child and friends, and probably other family members. It was so cold-blooded that I was like, oh, yes, thank you. You need to see just how cold-blooded white folks were back in the day and can still be.
Yeah.
And this is not about, you know, I'm not going to defend my comment. No. White folks, y'all were cold-blooded. That was some cold-blooded. And then the fact that, you know, the Vanessa Redgrave character is like, come on, we got to bury this, but, you know, I'm going to bring in the house. Now, you know, obviously that's trying to show as much compassion as she could have in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to make him a house nigga, because even those things were kind of annoying me.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved Cecil's journey. And I love that the liberties that were taken in certain respects, because I mean, one of the issues that a lot of people I've been hearing is saying it does manipulate your emotions, and my thing is, yes, when you have soaring, beautiful scored music mm-hmm. with awful tragedy, yes, your emotions will get stirred up, and that's what I try to resist. But at the same time, I love the beauty of the story. Like I felt, for me, even if it, okay, let's just say only the only fact in the film is that he was a butler and everything else was made up, it still was fine with me.
Now, I hadn't heard that critique before, mm-hmm. but what would trouble me about that is that murder is murder and rape is rape. If you see that depicted in any kind of fashion, music behind it or not, it should stir some kind of emotion in you.
Right.
And that's how the film started out. And even
That wasn't the critique wasn't about that particular moment.
Right.
I was just saying in general that like there's a lot of sort of emotional manipulation.
I know what you're saying.
Which is great.
But to me, that's a way to also try to negate the importance of the storytelling, mm-hmm. whether it's fictional or not. These type of situations happen, and if you look at the real character Eugene Allen and look at the time period he grew right. up in, this that all
is the possible.
Same, and all of it is possible. And the thing is, it's somebody's story.
It is somebody's story.
So let's not act like these things don't happen. You know, I don't know how you could show slavery and there be no emotional response to it unless you're just a cold person who chooses not to respond to it right. because it's just a fact of life.
Right.
You know, and for those of us who are descendants of those people that experienced that and survived it, for us to be here, because quite frankly, we wouldn't be here if they hadn't survived. We're going to have an emotional response to
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And the thing about it was, I knew I was going to have an emotional response because yeah. everybody I've talked to was like, yeah, bring your tissues. I mean, grown men have been like, I shed a tear. And I was like, I was cool. Like, I was cool. I like, you know, I don't have a problem with the shedding a tear.
Right.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't so overly emotional because our story, it can be emotionally draining to see what's happened to us and then start thinking about our current condition. So I'm always
right.
like, let me just.
But see, that's the thing. Anybody that would have a critique of this film based on the fact that it emotionally manipulates you from beginning to end, because this might not be the actual story of this man's life, wants to also, in my opinion, kind of water down the impact and emotional response one should have seeing the story of American slavery. That's what it was.
And I have to say, I mean, it wasn't.
And the effects that we're dealing with, everything that that entire family went through and what we're currently dealing with now, that's all, it's a whole cycle of things that have happened. So mm-hmm. you can't water it down. You know what I'm saying? It's, like, honestly, I would have a strong fuck you response to somebody who would have that critique mm-hmm. of this is emotionally, like, yeah, it is emotionally manipulating, and it should be emotionally manipulating to you because it really happened to people.
It really did, and I think what's
we're
important.
Proof of it.
I think what's important to it's so interesting because I was like, wow, this is like the modern day The Diary of Miss Jane Pittman, because you see a life from its, you know, from adolescence all the way to almost practically his death. I mean, he's now deceased, but to see a man's life. I don't know. Another favorite part I'll talk about mm-hmm. was when, oh God, this was cool filmmaking too. When Lee Daniels shows them going into their first lunch counter strike mm-hmm. and Cecil going into this dinner and then hearing, and just watching that contrast, but also, sorry, that wasn't the moment. The moment was when right before Dr. King's assassination and Dr. King breaks down the domestic.
Oh yeah, the role
and
of
it
domestic.
Just I have to say it changed a lot of things for me because I am a person who was like kind of anti-help, mm-hmm. anti the help, because I was like, why is another picture about us helping and showing? And when he spoke those words about the dignity and the work ethic. And that it's subversive and
yes,
it speaks works against the stereotype of the Negro. Mm-hmm. I have to say my mind was changed and I said, you know, this is very true, and I was honored to be able to watch this man's story, who endured in silence oftentimes, because remember they repeated several times,
you need to be invisible.
You need to be invisible. It's like you're not even here. Mm-hmm. And this is why these men And women acted as if they weren't even there and would speak just so wretchedly about black people in their presence. And you're like, wow. And what we heard was nothing.
No, I was just
saying. Can you imagine the conversations that went on and they had to hold, bite their tongue to hear what they were talking about? Because you know there was some old wretched racist Hicks who was in the White House who were not the president and could say whatever they wanted to say.
Right. That's part of the being, I guess, the what you got to deal with being, I guess, the quote unquote the house nigga. Like, you around them all the time. So there, right. You have to endure more of the hatred vibe than we do because you see them in there. So you're around them from morning to end.
It's probably worse than the field nigger because it's the mental. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was funny.
The mask.
It's a different.
You know what I mean? Because
it's different. Because my thing is on both ends.
Well, my thing is, you are getting it on both ends. Because if you think about the field nigga, if you just it's about physical and it's like okay, back breaking labor, blah blah blah. But you can sing your song outside. You can probably talk to. You know, I can talk to you. I can talk to Chris outside. We picking cotton, and they just want you to pick the cotton.
And you're segregated
from their world. But when you're inside the house, nigga, you don't have a world.
No,
you are silent
because you're certainly not integrating.
You're not integrating.
So you need to be invisible.
And so just that world being introduced, not even introduced, because it's not like we didn't know this existed, but just having a deeper understanding of that world was powerful for me. I also loved that the film showed Cecil, the Gaineses, and their friends and their family life outside of the White House because they were people. They were people that had friends. They smoked. They drank. Mm-hmm. They acted a fool. They talked. And I have to say, I love that the butlers and their families become family. I mean, when you started hearing them refer to Cuba Gooding Jr. as
Uncle Clark.
That was a Freudian slip. Cuba Gooding Jr. Did I just say Cooting? Cuba Gooding Jr. as uncle.
Yeah.
You're like, that's right. They're so close. Like, they know each other. And he's going to bail out his son. And so there were so many beautiful moments in that respect. And, I have to give it up. I felt... You know, if a movie's job is to entertain, inform, educate, surprise, I felt all of those things. I learned a little bit more about myself. Mm-hmm. I was entertained because let me tell you, having that comic relief of the brother when his brother was talking about him being buried in that casket, and he was like, I don't want you there because they're going to be taken away from everybody looking at my pretty face. Like, I mean, those moments were funny. Ooh, and I ain't going to lie. I was at the rave in Baldwin Hills, and that's where folks of color go. And when you want to see a movie like this, you want to see it with folks of color because we react. And when she slapped him for calling him. Mm-hmm.
And you take that trifling.
No, she said, take that that
low
something
class low trifling class bitch.
I said, ooh. It came out so visceral. It was just like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to go.
What affected you like?
Oprah was
with
great.
With your hairy underarms.
Yes.
I loved it. I loved it.
See, funny, you caught it. I didn't catch it at first, but I was like,
yeah, I was like, does she have hair?
Oh, no. She was keeping it real.
That's not acceptable ever.
I mean, she was keeping it real feminist. And when I tell you Oprah was... Because at the end of the day, they were disrespecting their parents.
Yeah.
They were.
Disrespecting her parents. And the fact that she would belch it, I was like, whoa. I don't care what movement you're part of. You're at somebody's dinner table. Who the hell told you it's okay to be belching at the table? Yeah. That's why she deserved everything that she got. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I know a mama would have done that when she rolled her eyes. She probably would have punched her. You know what I'm saying? And it was just... wasn't he just the most amazing gentle giant though? This is why I think Forrest Whitaker was probably the perfect casting choice for this role because there are very few actors who can have that inner strength that you know it resides in them not to go off. Yeah. Because, hello, look what he had seen. Yeah. The man saw his father killed, his mama raped. And he worked on a cotton farm his whole childhood and then went into service basically endured awful things that, like you said, post-traumatic stress.
But it's like because he went through that experience, he was able that's how he made the decision to go the route that he did. His father was shot for speaking up. And so he did what he was told and kept his mouth shut. And he was able to make a life for himself and a family for himself. And Vanessa Redgrave's character, what I liked about that relationship was that, you know, I'm not going to like shine the craziest spotlight on it in the world, but it is, I mean, my mother-in-law always reminds me that we wouldn't have gotten through the civil rights movement or probably accomplished much of it if we didn't have some white help.
White anti-racist allies were critical.
Yeah. And in this situation, a lot of black folks would not have gotten through slavery if there were not white people that felt some level of compassion as much as they could consider the circumstances.
And she knew that was going to help him. She knew that would, because she knew that if he stayed in that field, he would die.
Yeah. She had to remove him from that scene completely.
Yeah, because it's not his, he didn't do anything.
No. No,
but he's always going to be a constant reminder to that white boy what he did and the guilt that he should
feel. Yeah, he probably would eventually probably just kill him.
Which
just
is exactly why he said he had to leave. Because he knew as he got older that he was
the threat.
He'd have been a threat.
He would have.
Because clearly, you scared.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
but that's the whole premise of slavery and oppression, period.
It's fear-based.
It's all fear-based. Mm-hmm. Can I switch the conversation really quick in relation to this? But, you know, last week I saw Fruitvale Station, and I thought it was just so interesting that I saw these two films in the same week. And the reason why I say that is because Fruitvale Station is about the awful tragedy of Oscar J. Grant III's murder. And one of the things, and I know you guys didn't get a chance to see it, but they did pay for it. They did pay for it. Can you tell that story real quick? Because I really love what you guys did. I think that's actually beautiful, and I think you should say it because it's... it's admirable, and I appreciate it. Can you talk about why you guys are unable to see it?
So Chris and I, as you guys know, I go to the movies often, although now that it's fall, I'm not going as often as I used to. But
it's still summer. Don't be hating on my summer. You know, we were born in the summer. Those of us born in summer, we do not give it up until at least October.
I'm loving this 80-degree weather.
Hello, somebody. Goodbye. Anyway, cinema goer.
Long story short, I tried to front load in preparation for Fruitvale. And watched way too much live footage of the actual Oscar Grant situation. Mm-hmm. And I overdid it and decided that I didn't want to see the event dramatized. And I think it's because I have an extra sensitivity after becoming a mom. I definitely am way more sensitive to issues of violence towards our young folks. And I overdid it. Mm-hmm. I overdid it. But Chris and I decided, because I don't know, this was something I know we would have wanted to see together.
Yeah.
But we decided to just buy tickets and, but we didn't, we chose not to view.
And the point I want to make here is that they chose not to view, but they supported the film. And I just want to reiterate that your economics is also activism.
Yeah, because I heard it was a good film and I like the actor. I've seen him in stuff.
Oh no, it's not a good film, guys. It is one of the best films I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And
that's
the reason why I'm saying that is because the humanizing of black men.
Yeah.
It is one of the most humanized portrayals of a black male I've ever seen in cinema. Mm-hmm. So I pray that one day you guys will be able to take it in.
Oh, because absolutely.
It is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And the reason why I want to talk about that on this Butler podcast is because I just think it's so interesting that these two movies are out at the same time, and 12 Years a Slave is also coming out. And this, you know, this we had a podcast about how there was going to be this year of all these black films coming out talking mm-hmm. about black issues, and I'm excited that these films are being made, major studios are producing them, or independent studios are producing them, and our stories are being told. And I think for me, one of my biggest concerns, one of my advocacy moments has always been, I just want our stories told, and I want our fair share of stories told. I want all sides of us told.
Yeah.
And Oscar J. Grant III was no saint, but honestly, he's one of the best human beings I think that was ever placed on earth, because what the movie showed was that he was a human being with flaws, with gifts, with love. And these are all the things that Cecil Gaines in this film portrayed: love, faults, flaws, caregiver, family, you know, father, son, friend, coworker, confidant. And so what I'm happy about these two movies expressed are they've humanized black men, but not only that, just the idea that we're not one-dimensional. We're not only violent. We're not only funny. We're not only womanizers or abusers or whatever these stereotypes that have portrayed us. We are fully, wholly 3, 4, 5 dimensions of a human being. And when you don't show that side of us, you basically are reducing us to 3/5 of a person like American law once did. And so for me, the beauty and the wonderful triumph of these movies being out right now is that we are seeing a side of the black male that is whole.
Yeah.
And that to me is a winning combination.
And you know what? I had a greater appreciation for this particular historical context because we often talk about at this table how we want other stories to be told, which we do. You know, you've heard us say Harlem Renaissance a million times, but other aspects.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
Other aspects of black history and black life. But what I could appreciate about this particular project is that it really showcased our story in a way that allowed us to have some dignity and pride for that struggle.
And I felt like it kept our soulfulness.
Yeah.
Right? Like, some people might be like, oh, Lenny Kravitz, Mariah Carey. But honestly, Mariah didn't have the main lines and she didn't mess up the movie.
No.
And Lenny, I felt like they all held their own.
This movie was good. Like, I don't see that much of a hardcore critique against the film. To me, the black power point is the strongest point. What I thought you were going to say is that they really didn't delve deeply into what the Panthers accomplished with their movement. It was really just kind of a gloss over.
Because a lot of it was glossing over. They didn't have time. You could tell they were trying. And I thought for the time that they had, they sort of got really poignant moments of the movement.
Yeah, so and once the, that point, I'm sorry.
I was going to say that one point, I guess, with the Panthers is when it got to the part where it showed you that there were black people that were that extreme. Because it did have to at some point back in history. Like, look, Lewis does the same thing. I'm trying to help the community. You know, but actually, like, going out and forcefully killing, not beyond protection. Like, are you trying to be what cops, you know, we're going to be like the cops, basically.
And look at what his life became. This man became, he ran for office, and then he still was an activist fighting against apartheid in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I loved his journey, too. And I love that it showed that if your parents have instilled anything in you, it's to be an individual with your own mind, mm-hmm. and to take what they've instilled in you and to make something of it. And he did. Yeah. And ultimately, I believe that Cecil was absolutely so proud of his son.
Absolutely.
So proud that he did what he couldn't do.
Yeah, that's what
he actually did what he wanted to do. Cecil just thought that the way to do that was through getting an education, graduating from college, and sort of going under this path. But one, he eventually does do that. And two, he still had that fighting, that strength in him that allowed him to be a fighter of just causes and social justice.
Yeah. In some ways, his spirit embodied that of Cecil's father, the man that's willing to put himself out there, you know, in spite of the risk, you know. And because I think even for Cecil, even seeing his father bothered to speak back to the man who had just done whatever to his wife had some impact on him, too. But it also made me realize it's good that these films are being made about slavery and about our experience, because honestly, there hasn't been a whole lot of dramatization of it. We've played these characters in various television shows and sitcoms, but these films will last forever. A film like this will last forever. There are children who are coming up under us now who really do not have an understanding of this history. And this is encapsulated in a way that they can digest and that they will understand. It is not a misrepresentation of the history.
And it's not a banging over the head, which let's be real. We're dealing with generations who have very short attention span.
Yeah.
And so if anything, if this piques the interest to go dig a little deeper into your history, that for me is wonderful. And I think it's great. I love that. I'm not gonna lie. I think it was great that it was rated R, because I'm sorry, you do need to see how they spoke, and they cursed, and they drank, and they smoked, and that made them human beings. And we know that.
I think it was PG-13.
Okay, let's cut that all out.
Okay.
And cut. So I just appreciate that the film showed such dimensions of Black people and Black culture. So I just really appreciate in the country that we're living in the time that we're in, seeing this diversity of Black imagery. And I'm gonna personally not be so hard and judgmental of what we're trying to do. I will say that as long as it's taken to get the country to elect a Black president, can you imagine how long it's going to take to demystify and to break down the images
that are
centuries old of Blackness?
Yeah.
So I do say the struggle continues, but onward and upward. And do you guys have any other thoughts?
I wanted to add to that. Part of it, too, is that we as a people need to be proud of our history and not be ashamed of who we are. These are things that we had to do to get by. We were the help.
History. We were the help.
We were the help. We were the slaves. That is who we are. That is the stock we come from. And if anything, it should tell you what all we are able to accomplish. Because quite frankly, there's not too many creatures on earth that could go through that kind of treatment and survive. Usually you have something called extinction when something like that happens. And we're still here.
And I have to say, there was another moment that I appreciated. And it's not a knock against Jewish culture, but it's just to remind people that you want to talk about concentration camps. Centuries of concentration camps. Remember that line at the end?
With their 90s
rayon jumpsuits?
Yeah, I was like, that was better. Cute. That was cute.
I was like, shout out to the costume designer, because all the costumes were wonderful.
They were perfect.
Oh, and I was loving it, particularly in the 70s when they had all those jumpsuits and she got him a jumpsuit for his birthday. That was just awesome. Yeah.
And Oprah and Forrest, I just want to say, I think you guys did a wonderful job. I think they did.
I was moved.
I love them. They had great chemistry.
Beautiful
together.
Chemistry. I was moved by both performances.
Yeah.
Oprah, thank you for the depth and the clarity of your performance and your strength. Mm-hmm. She went from this sassy woman. And even one of my favorite scenes was their last scene together playing old Black people.
That was great.
It was perfect. Am I lying?
Was
that spot on Black people? Those are my grandparents, people. Those are my grandparents. My great-grandmother, God rest your soul, Grandma Beulah. These are how our Black people act. And I was like, they got it right. Because a grown Black woman, she will call a Black child ugly.
Yeah.
But if you say something about it looking like her, she would absolutely be like...
Push a little thing.
Perfection. And so I just want to thank you all for that moment.
Guys,
I just want
a wonderful job.
I want to thank you. And then, you know, before we close, I do want to make sure that we get out and we support these amazing Black films that are coming out in the coming weeks, months.
Yes,
12 Years a Slave was mentioned.
Yeah, there's a film called Things Never Said, which is an independent film with a new indie star, Omari Hardwick. There's another film, 12 Years a Slave, the one that Malcolm just mentioned.
The Blackest Field Trip for the fall will be...
Best Man Holiday.
We are definitely, and we may, for those of y'all who know about SIP, a new after work experience.
Yes, sir.
We may have to make that a field trip for that function.
That's going to be off the chain.
And also, I will always rep and support... Affirm the African American film release movement.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Ava DuVernay, to Lane Jones. Thank you all for what you're doing in Los Angeles, around the world, to make sure that Black films, that Black experiences like Black Is, are broadcast and brought to the world.
Okay. So there's two other films that we saw previews on, and one is called The Inevitable Defeat of Mr. and Pete. Starring Jennifer Hudson and two young actors. Did you see this preview? Did they play this one?
Oh, I saw the Black Nativity preview for Jennifer Hudson, and that's coming out.
Langston
Hughes. It played during Fruitvale. The Black Nativity. Langston Hughes's play.
Yeah, I didn't see that one, but this one is about.
Oh, I didn't know she was in two films.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. It sounds like she's a woman who is a prostitute who has a child, and she ends up abandoning the child, and he and this Asian friend. I don't know how they meet, but it's their story of survival. It looks cute. I wasn't turned off by the preview. I'll say that, in spite of how like ratchet it sounds as far as her character. Mm. It looked like something that would be interesting. Some sort of... like if Spike had had his hand in this film, I would not be surprised, just in terms of how it looked.
I'm going to catch that one on Netflix.
I'm not going to say that. It looked good.
I'm sure the film is good, but I can't handle her acting. When I saw the shoot in Black Nativity, I was like, won't be going to see that. And Mary J. Blige has a major role in Black Nativity. I was like, won't be going to see that. I'll wait for Netflix. Thank you. But y'all know I'm looking for excellence in craft.
Wow.
So, that's that say you art.
You're not gonna be seeing Cinderance. And then Idris Elba is gonna be playing Nelson Mandela. I cannot remember the name of this actual film. I apologize. I was sending text to Chris about the previews he was missing because he was at the concession, and I was like, Idris is playing Nelson Mandela, and that one looks.
Shout out to all the husbands and boyfriends who miss previews because they out getting concessions.
Right.
Anything else?
Anyway, now support those films, you guys. Support these films that are coming out. They're different versions of stories of ours. And, you know, if we don't support, we can't complain.
And this is what we want. And as we end every week on Culture Connection, and how befitting on the 50th anniversary of I Have a Dream.
Indeed.
Remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And as always, thank you for participating. Thank you for joining us on Black Is Culture Connection. Till next time, peace. Yeah.